ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now here are your hosts, Bill Rage and Justin Tyler.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club. We are your hosts. We're short of hosts. That's okay. That is Daughter's Play.
You're supposed to say your name.
Justin Tyler.
Pete. That's our man in our booth. Booth band!
No, when Alex isn't here, we don't need to follow
we don't
his.
Have to do the
everyone knows. No, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah!
Great. Put your pants on or off or whatever you normally do.
Don't put that out there.
Pete, before we walked up, he was like, what should we talk about at the top? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, well, Pocahontas is coming out. And he meant The Hobbit when he said that. That's his
class. I've been drinking for a number of days straight, so.
Why, he's part of your Christmas celebration?
Yep, it's coming up. You got to get ready
for it. It's coming up? So you start drinking December 1?
Yep.
Or just when you see the first snowflake fall
through the year? I like to wake up out of a stupor like January 6th.
Oh, wow. You're like Charlie Brown grown up. And by that, I mean
that,
very sad.
Is that on the brain because you play Charlie Brown?
Oh, it's true. A little reveal. I play Charlie Brown in Brooklyn for the Charlie Brown Christmas.
That was a nice way. Hey, speaking of loud noises, we should bring in our guest.
Let's get the show started. We're very excited to have a very good friend of the show wearing his hot pink sweatshirt. Please welcome to stage Mr. John Gabris.
John Gabris to the stage, please. Please, John, report to the stage.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Is it here? Got it. What's up, everyone? Hi. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Less excited when he told me he's been on a 10-day bender or whatever.
It's really affecting your looks, let me say.
Yeah? Yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
Good.
You're right.
Good. No, I think you look great.
Here, Pete, you sit closer,
nope.
Too. Okay. No problem. Keep your distance. Mr. Gabris.
Yes.
Mr. Jonathan Gabris.
Well, let's not let anyone know what my first name is, especially my first full Christian name. I got that.
You recently moved to Los Angeles.
Yes, I recently moved to California.
Is that why you're wearing all these bright colors?
Yeah, and I went to American Apparel and said, give me your largest, gayest sweatshirt.
Give me your LA combo.
And it doesn't fit. I cannot zip it. But I then stupidly packed this because I went on a trip to the Dominican Republic before coming to New York. I was like only supposed to be in New York for like one day. I was like, I can get by with just a hoodie. Now I'm here till Friday, and I have just a hoodie and like three bathing suits, flip-flops, and like one pair of pants. So I'm like, luckily I did laundry at my mom's house, so I can, because you can get two wears out of every underwear.
So based on what you just said, you're literally living the dream.
I'm living the dream. I'm sort of a big-time celebrity. I moved to Hollywood, and then I do laundry at my mom's house, and have one article of clothing.
Yeah. Cool. Well, things
but
are going.
But I am staying at the Soho Grand, room 923.
That's nice.
Very. Point to one person in the audience, one terrified person. Yeah. You better fucking be there. Yeah. So I am getting to stay at a fancy hotel, and I've never been in a hotel in New York City before. I mean, I've been in one. For like,
criminal purposes.
Yeah, criminal purposes. Buying drugs, fingering a burlesque dancer. Yeah. That wasn't criminal.
It was the way you did it.
It was criminal how good I was at it.
What is happening?
I just like to take the whole tone of the show and undercut it and make it disgusting.
No, you're elevating our rhetoric. Wow, really high-class burlesque dancer, it must be.
Yeah, anyone who likes to get fingered in the Soho Grand.
Oh, my God.
This guy.
Who
does room 923.
It?
Oh, my God. Room 923, may I remind you. So you're on a show called Guy Code on MTV2.
Guy Code on MTV2.
Guy Code on MTV2.
Thank you.
All right. That's an echo. It's bouncing off the wall.
That is my dark passenger, if anyone watches.
Dark passenger.
All right.
Oh, man.
Knock it off.
Knock it off, Dark Pass.
I'm already have audio trails because I took mushrooms before I came out here. So adding a whole nother layer.
You get audio trails?
Audio trails, bro. Is that how you say
That's the name of a podcast I'm launching.
Welcome to Audio Trails with Justin Tyler.
Just play wind chimes the whole time?
Is that how I sound? Oh, shit, oh, shit.
Hi, yeah. This is me.
So, yeah, Guy Code Season 3. Not to be confused with the insurance company fronted by an Australian lizard.
Yeah.
But Guy Code is a show on MTV2 airs Tuesday nights at 11, and we season 3 starts on January 15th, if that's a Tuesday.
Sure.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
It's MTV2's highest rated show ever, which says just as much about MTV2 as it does the show.
Yeah.
Like, we beat out whatever version of internet pranks that the other shows that they have. I think they'd probably not be excited if they heard me talking about
yeah,
it. Like,
exactly.
I think you just lost your job.
Yeah. They are not listening to this podcast.
That's true. That's
not to dig at the podcast, but it's Guy Code. It's all
different circles.
Yeah, it's different circles. I'm the Venn diagram where someone who's played football and read Cimmerillion. It's like I'm the only person.
Yeah,
that's
right
me.
In there.
Yeah.
I know you'd always be out on the field with a pocket.
I'd be like, the Eye of Sauron is behind us. And everyone's like, calm down.
Is he calling a play? What's he talking about?
But I'm also not a very good nerd or a very good football player, so I've sort of always been like that. Even now, like, I'm a comedian and a rugby player, and I'm probably one of the strongest comedians and one of the funniest rugby players.
But that doesn't mean much.
No, yeah. But I'm in a room full of comedians, I'm like the worst guy, and on a rugby pitch, I'm like the worst guy.
You're like, shut the fuck up and do something.
Yeah, but I'm so excited to be like...
We've heard your scrum puns. We get it.
Welcome to Scrum Puns with John Gabris, Wind Chimes.
Yo, we should link our podcast.
Nah, I don't know if there's much of an overlap.
Audio Trails is looking for like a sporty edge.
What about Pete's podcast, 15 Day Bender?
Yeah.
It's just the audio recordings of glass shattering in his house.
I'll start every show by screaming, why? The microphone.
Merry fucking Christmas. Sorry. And is this an explicit podcast?
Slightly. Yep. It's hard to get Pete's podcast. He just screams into a bottle. Yeah. And it doesn't actually record.
Yeah. And he then throws the bottle in the ocean, and luckily enough, if it washes up on the beach, you can hear
his podcast.
You can hear 9 hours of sobbing and screaming. Sorry, Pete.
It's
I'm
okay.
scared of you, but yeah. I love you.
Hi. Are you ready to move over one chair and sit close?
No, but I'm ready to start with maybe the show.
Oh, you're so tough.
Sorry, bringing out the guest is not part of your show.
This is the interview portion.
Really?
How much we learned about him. Jeez.
I think Pete, do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, would you like to ask a question?
Sure, I would love to ask
Fine,
a question.
Ask a pithy and well-observed question.
No, just a question.
I would like to know what's maybe your favorite comic that that got you hooked into comics or got you reading comics.
Ooh. Oh, when I was a kid, I can't even remember, but there was like an X-Men that had a hologram cover, and I begged for it, and I got it as an Easter present in my Easter basket. Yeah, I was begging on the street. Anyone give me a hologram X-Men? No, there was
I've
like
done that.
Yeah. It does not work.
Nope.
I got like $70, but still couldn't afford the comic.
Threw it
I
in
wanted
the garbage.
I wanted it so bad. It was like some like uncanny 400 or something like that. I feel like it would have been like 94.
Yeah.
And I was so excited for the comic. I looked at it every day. I couldn't afford it because it was like $4.
This is to get specific. Was it like an actual hologram or was it just like really sparkly?
The background was like silver, and it was like the X symbol when you like waved it back and forth. It wasn't like an actual hologram.
Might have been the Falnix Covenant. I think the cover. Ooh.
See, out nerded, but I could deadlift more than him. Yeah. Which counts for something.
I'm working.
I don't know.
And I begged for that comic, and I got it for Easter, and I just read it cover to cover, and I like put it. I didn't like want to hang it up, but I like, had it in Mylar, like on my desk in my bedroom, and I'd like wake up in the morning and like look at it and be like, "Yeah, fucking comics, dude." And I was obsessed with it. And then I got into Marvel Masterpieces, and then I went down a card hole of like Magic the Gathering,
lost in a card hole.
Collected Marvel Masterpieces and all other Marvel cards. I played X-Files the card game. I played Star Wars CCG. I played every card game. Yeah, this is where I get some of my nerd cred back. Because I played every fucking card game that came out.
Yeah.
I was so
excited. X-Files card game had to be pretty intense.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. It was still more fun than Marvel Overpower, and I thought Overpower was going to be awesome because it was Marvel. I was like, Marvel and cards at the same time. It's like, it's more fun to just see what the Living Tribunal's strength is.
Was it a big win to play Scully's sexual tension card?
Yeah. That was always, it was like, what color is a pubic hair?
Oh, you had the creep edition.
Yeah. Well, we made it the creep edition.
All these cards say, what color is Scully's pubic hair?
Can I play any of them? You should see my Star Wars deck.
Yeah. Let's move on with from that topic to a little section we like to call The Stack. We've all selected a comic to talk about in the stack, and then one bonus comic.
We got a bonus round.
We brought you a bonus comic, all right? be happy. I was about to start swearing at everybody.
Hey,
pay attention.
So let's turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage talking about Shadow Man number 2 from Valiant Comics.
This is a really amazing comic. I really thought the art was super cool, and it's kind of reintroducing Shadow Man, and I really like the way Valiant is doing it. Obviously, this is issue 2, but number 1 you can get, and it's just a really fantastic...
Number 1 is 2 is a preview. You have read it as a preview?
No. I just meant like we're not too late in, so if you want to check it out, you know,
you're saying you could jump on board.
You can still go back in number 1. Not all of the copies have been destroyed, like most comics.
Well, he's saying like if you get in on issue 98 of Invincibles, you might think you have to buy 97 comics worth of trades.
Exactly.
That's right. I read Darkman upstairs in front of Shadow Man. I read Darkman upstairs as well. The screenplay.
Darkman upstairs?
The Darkman screenplay I read upstairs, as I usually am on a Tuesday. But then I read Shadow Man in front of Pete, and I kept asking him like every page because I thought I didn't know how much I missed. I was like, wait, so he's from New Orleans and he does magic and he doesn't know at night? And Pete's like, yes, just read it. Every time I asked him a question, the next page answered the question I had, and I started to be like, all right, I better ease up. Yeah. And Pete was, you know, day 15 of a bender. He's not happy.
He's just mumbling information. So you want to tell us about the character? I didn't read the first issue, so
it's just this guy who kind of gets the Shadow Man powers, and he's still not sure what's happening a little bit. So it's a little... What's nice is it's confusing to him and us right now. So we're kind of getting the full story.
Yeah, I'm so tired of being the only one confused.
Yeah.
So glad that
it's nice and somebody else.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree with that.
That's why I like in all honesty, the movie Big Trouble in Little China is amazing. That's one of my favorite movies. And woo! And the whole movie, all Kurt Russell's lines are like, what the hell? What is going on here? Yeah. He's literally like, it's such an awesome viewpoint for a hero to be like, wait a minute, what? There's actually a YouTube supercut of him just being confused the whole movie.
Really
it's like
funny.
2.5 minutes, and he just keeps going, what in the hell?
And it's a rare movie that can take a character who's confused all the time to so quickly fighting people. Yeah, be like, what's going on? This will probably work. Bang, 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 bang.
Just running over the first old Asian man you see with your big rig.
Yeah. Classic problem solving.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome setting, too, for a comic. It's like, you know, like sort of the voodoo mystical world of New Orleans. I think it's really cool.
Plus,
it's
any evil guy who, like, takes the time to get a nice suit made is really cool.
Tailored.
That was one of my favorite panels when he was getting a custom suit. I was like, this is so awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever had a custom suit made, Pete?
No.
You have.
I have. Felt like $1,000,000.
Yeah, it's because you got a hand job while I was having
it. Yeah. Felt like $1,000,000.
Why do you know that?
Because he's
friends.
Tailor. I never got the suit. Justin just measured my body and then gave me a happy ending.
I'm not good with sewing, is the thing. But I'm great at giving hand jobs.
Are you looking at me to say that the same time as you?
I was hoping.
Hand jobs!
I thought we had a Taylor Tailee relationship, but I guess not.
The weirdest kid show ever. Hand jobs.
Sorry. Keep moving. I like this a lot. I didn't read the first issue, like I said, but I think you can jump right in. Shadow Man does seem like when he is Shadow Man, he like knows what to do.
Yeah.
But then the rest of the time, he's like, "What did I just do? Yeah. My hand's on fire, but it doesn't hurt." And the girl's like, "You're doing magic, bro." And it's he's like, "Hooray!" Yeah. So that's a nice positive magic reinforcement.
I mean, if your hand's going to be on fire, it's nice that it doesn't hurt.
Right.
True. I know. I've tried that so many times.
I think you guys are taking away the right thing from the story. I think you're taking away the most important part of the story is that fire, if it doesn't hurt your hands, it's cool.
Yeah. Lesson for you kids out there. Let's move on and talk about Avengers number 1 from Marvel Comics.
I was
going
to say, this cost $65,000 for us to buy.
Yeah.
No, it's a different Avengers number 1.
It was, from the Marvel Now imprint, a new team of Jonathan Hickman. As the writer and a beautiful artist on here, who I'm going to look up really quickly.
Yep.
That's just it.
It's Blair Underwood.
What do you guys think of the book? It's a very radical change.
Right after the cold open.
It's a radical change from
cold open.
That's an entertainment term.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny they use that.
I didn't know what I meant. It's right there.
Yeah. Jerome Opina.
Jerome Opina. We apologize for not memorizing that.
Yep.
This is. I don't know, man. It's a little similar to the movie. I was a little like, everybody was talking about how great this was, so I got it, checked it out, and I was like, I wasn't that excited.
You didn't like it?
No, I mean, anytime you start and it's like, I don't know, I felt like it was more serious, so we needed to be like, in the beginning, there was nothing.
Yo, that's awesome, dude.
No, I don't.
I know what you're saying, though, but if you show me a scene in a movie where they get together a team, I am on board. Yeah. No matter
exactly.
what.
Exactly.
MacGruber, any movie yeah. where it happens where they're like, you know what? We're getting the boys together. I'm yeah. just like already fucking so into. So even though I know the premise of Avengers, I'm
just like gatherings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Gatherings of people. Oh.
I'm just envious of people rally. Who have a group of friends that they can go to in the time of need.
Yeah.
Wow, you must have loved the Budweiser commercials from the late
the
90s.
Yeah.
Or that. No, when all the guys call and say, what's up?
What up?
Yeah. You still got it.
I still got it. I do it at open mics around New York and L.A. if anyone ever wants.
For those of you listening, he took a moment and dipped into character when he
yeah,
said that.
I slicked my hair back. Like yeah. Where's Dookie at?
You're right. This is very set-up-y, and it's Jonathan Hickman. It's very similar to the early issues of the Fantastic Four, I thought, where he's really like starting at an epic moment, the beginning of like the world, and then he really lays out a lot of elements he's going to be using throughout his three-year plan. He has a three-year plan for this series. You see Hyperion, which is a character who is most recently in Supreme Power, if you guys are fans of that, which was a great book. He pulled out of another dimension. All these other characters are introduced. It's an epic storyline. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, I like
I'm excited.
Writes dense shit.
Let's yeah. fast forward to 3 years from now. And if I'm still alive,
we'll
I'd be so excited to read the rest of the
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the apocalypse. I'm worried about this, my heart.
Your personal apocalypse.
Yeah, my personal apocalypse.
Did you point?
which I call my vices.
Yeah. 1221 is the end of your
heart, you also pointed to two beers slapping five on your t-shirt.
Tattooed on your chest.
For the viewers at home, I literally have an hot pink sweatshirt on. For the viewers at home, I know how technology works.
A lot of people
off.
Just stare at their iPods yeah. while we play this.
For those of you who are just reading the title of this podcast over and over again on your laptop. And then underneath it, I have a shirt with two beers high-fiving under a rainbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was wondering what this shirt meant when I bought it.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I was like, they're gay beers, right? And then someone pointed out that gay beers is very close to my last name.
Gay
especially
bus.
If you change it to gay brews.
Wow.
Look at that. So
that's
in other
a
words,
lot that goes into your shirt buying.
If anyone ever has 45 seconds on the street, stop me. I can yeah. give you this quick riff that I'm wearing this.
And I think you have a lot of self-obsession. If you're like,
no, I like to wear it. Well, the back of the shirt just says, Gabris, come and get it.
Yeah. Written in Sharpie.
Yeah.
As you write on all the back of your shirts. So what do you say? You going to pick up the next issue, Pete?
I'll wait. I'll see.
You'll wait?
Yeah.
Okay, great answer. Yep. What about you?
He's going to see what his rum budget's like for the yeah. next month.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to get tight.
It is the holidays.
Yeah.
I'm going to be noggin' hard these next couple of weeks.
Pete be noggin' hard this holidays.
Yo, Pete be noggin'. The very holiday-specific black stand-up comedian. Yo, why Pete always be noggin'?
Yeah.
Did you guys want me to get racist on the podcast?
No. Yeah, is that cool?
We always have you to get a little racist.
Yeah, I like you know, you're really.
I've been toning down my racism a lot.
Yeah,
no, in life in general.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Ever since the court ordered subpoena, you know. Well, whatever. Yeah.
A court ordered subpoena makes.
I don't
sense.
Know what any of the business yeah. terms. Is that business? Business.
It's your.
Can
business.
We talk about the next comic, please?
Being in court is your business.
Pete wants to move on. Thanks, Zalbin.
Oh.
I'm burning bridges because I'm moving to California, and they don't have Skype capabilities on this podcast, so I'm out of here.
Sweet.
Yo, dead that.
Note to edit that out, please.
Personal note. Note to the editor, Alex Zalbin. Edit out that insult to yourself. let's move on to our next book.
He's going
to
do that anyway.
Yep. Invincible number 98, Mr. Gabers' pick.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Invincible, always have been. I've fallen off in the last couple of months since I moved away from Justin, my local comic provider.
Yeah.
Why buy the comics when someone who lives two doors away buys them all for you?
Yeah, it sleeps on a stack of them.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. You are
oh, okay.
yeah, that's
41
little...
years old. You should but figure
close.
That
out. I mean, not close.
Oh, I knew it! I picked it because I've always loved Invincible, and especially this issue points out even more what I like about it, the juxtaposition of like the cartoony superhero-ness of it up against like the absolute terror of invasions of the world.
Well, tell
like
us what's happening in it.
In this issue, Dinosaurus is like just a grown man who just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I, just before you talk about this, can I take it back a little bit? I was really excited for when Invincible was going to hang out with Dinosaurus again, because I was like, here's a guy who's kind of evil a lot of the times, but saved his life. And I thought their reunion would be this little like, hey, thanks so much. Like, oh, man, this is so great. Thanks for saving my life. You really went above and beyond. You didn't have to do it. Everybody thought you were evil. You
but
know,
things
like,
are a little more complicated when you're a human dinosaur.
Yeah.
Dinosaurus was not did not react the way Pete had expected.
No, I was hoping. Didn't
you
had
like set up some sort of trap for Invincible, more or less. Yeah. A trap, you
well,
say?
Dinosaurus' thing is
it's a trap.
He's like, he says he's not good or evil. He's just trying to do the best for the greatest number of people.
Yeah, which causes him to do some currently evil things, right. Like including do. Oh, I don't want to spoil it, but like he,
you can.
Yeah, he offers like he says to Invincible that the best way to save billions is to kill millions, and he tells him he's attacking Los Angeles. So Invincible on the
did that make you nervous?
That made me very nervous. I was like, leave West Hollywood alone. And leave the Soho Grand apartment 923 or room number 923.
Apartment.
Apartment. I moved in. I just got cable.
I don't think that's an apartment. That's just a loss.
I got
a
cable
short-term
setup.
Rental. No. You got cable.
And so he goes to Los Angeles to try to stop what he thinks is an attack, but it turns out it was a decoy for something
the
way
old
worse.
Decoy move.
The old decoy. Good luck in Los Angeles. Too bad we're destroying the entire world.
So... the name of this storyline is Everyone Dies, The Death of Everyone.
So intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this issue, a lot of people die.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be dying.
So I mean, it was dying. Scary, even though it was a very cartoonish picture of the Statue of Liberty and then people like floating in the water dead, it still was like, holy shit.
Even that image affected you?
Yeah.
Even
that got through the
dead
icy core of your heart?
That's right.
Yeah. I think that's what the same thing. That's what I've always liked about the book is that it's always seems really fun and like the colors are very beautiful, and it's always like something intense and dark is happening.
Yeah.
And also, it's Robert Kirkman. I could listen to him read the phone book.
What?
What?
He doesn't just call that, you and tell you what happens in the comic.
The analogy works better when he's an actor, but I could watch him rewrite the phone book into comic form.
Oh, okay.
Man,
oh.
I could watch that guy write the phone book.
Yeah, I would love to watch that guy type in people's phone numbers mechanically. I'm a huge fan of Kirkman. Yeah, and I heard that in issue 100 of Invincible, Invincible is brutally murdered with a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
Ooh.
Nice.
Spoilers.
Inside
spoiler.
Reference.
Jesus, guy.
I'm pretty tight baseball. With the Kirkman. He told me that.
The Kirkman. Wow.
Yeah, we have an annual bear club that we meet at.
Yeah.
We're all fat dudes with beards get together and...
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, Boothman.
Boothman.
Oh, no, Boothman.
Oh, no.
This is the first issue of this three-issue arc building up to the big Invincible number 100 where something bad's going
to
happen.
Everybody dies. Way to squeeze that burp in casually.
They did. It was a
note
dramatic
to editor,
burp
edit out
pause.
My dramatic burp pause.
No, I want you to emphasize my dramatic burp.
Kick the volume up on it.
Yo, kick that volume up. I thought this was really good. I like where it's going. The book is always so...
like he said so eloquently, Kirkman is amazing and does great work.
That actually was technically more eloquently than I said it. Thank you.
Which is rare.
Rare that Pete achieves eloquence.
When you even said the word eloquence, I had to take a minute to think about it. Congratulations. Yeah. Let's talk about our last book for the stack.
This is the bonus book.
Bonus book. Hellboy in Hell, number one, by Mike Mignola and Dave Stewart. This much-anticipated continuing Hellboy storyline over all these titles. It's been a while, over a year since we've seen Hellboy.
It has.
I
watch the movies every day, so it's been a while. Yeah.
So you're very close.
I'm very close with Hellboy. And also Ron Perlman is my roommate.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, it's you, your wife, and Ron Perlman?
Yeah, it's actually a sitcom we're working on, me, my wife, and Ron Perlman. Oh, cool.
I would watch that.
Oh, you don't have to live it to make it a sitcom.
No, I'm pretty sure it's easier that way.
Why write when you can live?
Yeah. This book is fantastic. It's definitely a long time coming, so it's exciting. Even though the characters in the book are like, man, it's been a while, right?
Yeah, I am not all caught up on Hellboy, and reading this, they're like, wow, we haven't seen each other. And like what you just said, it's like, well, it's been like a year since we saw. He's like, and like in the book, it's like, well, it's been like a year since we've seen each other. It's so funny that you said that.
It is, and even
so funny
in the back.
Can't you hear like how hard everyone's laughing? I'm so funny. You gotta say it's so funny after you say it, so everyone knows.
Yeah, it's just so if you're not laughing, you can hear it. The words, it's so funny. Even in the on the letters page, the editor writes, you have to really pay attention to the writing here because it's sort of. It doesn't explain what's happening all the time. And I think that's the big thing on this. He makes reference to every like era of Hellboy throughout this whole book. And if you don't know it, which I've read it all, but it's hard to sort of keep track of it and piece it all together.
And the art, while it's awesome, I love the art. It's not super clear all the time. It's very, like, it makes, like, huge choices, and it's sort of, like, very shadowy and stuff.
Yeah, it's very artistic and beautiful, but sometimes it's, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, which one's Hellboy?
Yeah, yeah, which you can't tell. Sometimes we're like, is that a statue, or is that just the bad guy who looked like a statue?
He does have a lot of statues who all look like a Hellboy in every one of these books. But, like, this cover, though, is gorgeous, and this is also a panel in the comic. And there's this great section here where we see a little bit of the Christmas Carol, the characters from the Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
And he pulls a couple passages from that, and it's awesome. It's really cool, just that little section.
It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
yeah, puppets are creepy.
Yeah, the animation is like, the drawing is like terrifying.
Yeah.
And when I like found myself, I realized, I was like, this is the Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
I was like, this is fucking scary.
It is.
I just beeped myself out by accident. Did you hear that? Yeah.
The character is like talking about how he forged the chain of his life, the burden of his life, one link at a time,
one yard at a time.
Oh, it's such a...
Jacob Marley or whatever
Jacob
his name
Marley.
Is. Marley. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Huge Dickens heads here. But it's really good, and it is dense, but I think, like anything, it really pays off. We interviewed Mike Mignola at New York Comic Con, and he was talking about how, with Hellboy in Hell, he was going to tell, like, a 6-issue story, but he loves it so much, he's going to, like, really explore the world and get into a bunch of weird shit.
The last page was also really powerful. It just says, next issue, pandemonium. It's got demon in there. That was pretty cool. Pandemonium. I just was like, holy shit, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Things are going to get worse before they get better for Hellboy.
Yep.
And Pete LePage.
Oh, no. It's true.
That's probably not for this podcast. This is for Pete's podcast. If you're ever at a beach anywhere, just pick up a bottle and hold it to your ear.
You can hear it. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
Now we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to turn over to Mr. Boothman.
Whoa. Was that a ship?
Boothman.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Bert.
So I got some questions for
you.
Awesome.
That's what we just set up.
Yeah, we just set up that section where you have questions. So it's perfect that you have questions.
This worked out perfectly.
I'm so glad. Okay. So,
edit that last part out, too.
Edit out Boothman from the past 3 years. If Gabrus were a supervillain, which one would he be and why?
Which character from an actual comic book?
Okay, yeah.
Super villain specifically.
Right, 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 right.
Bad guys, because I know the answer if I was a good guy.
Why? What's your
answer? Thing. Like, it's just something nice. There's something charming about him, but he's sort of disgusting. But you, but at the same time, you like need him on your team for some reason. You're not sure why.
But every time you sit down for a meal, you say, "It's clobbering time,"
and I just smash my face into the plate as hard as I can. But if I was a villain, a villain. Oh, man, that's tough. I always.
Magneto? Austere? I mean, you were.
Well, I was in the Holocaust. Yeah. On the good guys. On the good guys' side. Wait. Who do you guys think are the good guys?
What a great way to. An unanswered question to throw out there. I was on the good guys' side. So.
You know, it's all a matter. You know, it's all subjective. Who's a good guy?
Stop.
That's the one thing in history that people pretty much agree is not subjective.
I will say this. My entire life, I've always been the dude. You know, like you have some friends who are like, oh, I want to be the evil guy. I've always wanted to be the good guy. Always my entire life. Like playing Dungeons & Dragons, I was always neutral good or better. You know, I was obsessed with doing good. In video games, I always chose like the, you could let him live. You know, I always did that. But I guess if I had to be any supervillain, it would be a Sentinel. No, I'm just kidding. That's such a
call that builds up for the Sentinel.
Yeah. I think it would be Sabretooth. In all honesty, I love Sabretooth, and he's
nice.
Yeah,
good answer. You.
You
got the facial hair.
I think I sort of like that. He has the obvious powers, but he doesn't have anything over Wolverine, who's like his arch nemesis. But he has just like primal. He's like more animal than human in a way. And I think that equates to my personality.
And he just likes to drink and do whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you Sabretooth?
I'm not sure. Oh, shit. Yeah. A lot of people tell me I look like Liev Schreiber, so that's good.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's good.
It's bad for Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. Now that you're in Hollywood, I'm sure.
I was going to say Grundy.
Solomon Grundy. Ooh, I like Solomon Grundy a lot. Yeah. I mean, I never really read DC growing up. That's a new addition to me in the last couple of years. But I love Justice League Unlimited, so that's where I know Grundy from. Yeah, yeah.
And the Starman series is actually a great character. He's not really a villain in that. He's like sort of an innocent idiot.
Innocent goat boy?
An innocent, like, he's just there and he's like wants to play with butterflies, but he's so strong. He's like from Of Mice and Men. He's like Lenny.
I've been equated to Lenny a few times.
Great. Who asked that question? We have some comic books for you.
Yeah.
And Boothman, can we have another question?
Sure. This actually kind of ties into what we were just talking about.
Right.
What is the best thing story for a new reader?
Oh, nice, nice. The best thing story. I'm trying to think. If Alex were here, there's a great thing. Hulk storyline, I think, where they travel into space.
Oh, I thought you were talking about where Thing and Hulk fight in that desert town. I forget what book.
They arm wrestle?
It starts with the arm wrestle, but then they end up, it escalates. That's an awesome story.
I think
that's
from a Fantastic Four annual, and that is a great story. Yeah.
Was there a... I know Jeff Loeb did...
I've written a number of things, erotic fan fiction. If you,
yeah.
If anyone
You've
wants
written
to.
Your erotic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
you.
Me as Thing.
Yeah,
having sex with Scarlett Johansson.
Someone with the actor Scarlett Johansson
on the set of Avengers.
Yeah, cool.
It's really complicated and very meta theatrical.
Yeah, a lot of orange plates moving about.
I remember there's like a cover where it's like Thing and a bunch of cheeseburgers. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know.
No, that's a dream you had where you were the Thing.
That sounds a lot like my fan fiction.
Yeah, from the most recent from Jonathan Hickman's run, there's a. The arc where the Thing, he was given the power to become Ben Grimm for one day a year. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really good. It seemed cheesy when I first started reading it, but it is really sort of sweet because that's his whole character thing. Like, his thing is being the Thing, and it sucks because he can't, have erotic fan fiction in real life, which is
Well, I don't get to be John Gabris once a year.
You don't get to
No, I'm this thing yeah, I'm this year round.
When you revert to actual John Gabris, what's that like?
Oh, I shrink down. All my clothes are too big on me, and I'm like, oh no. Huh. And people are like, you look like a normal person.
So you're me.
Oh, you're a functioning member of society now.
I did like, there was a comic a little bit ago that was like, it was depowered Ben Grimm and Logan, and it was just called like Grimm and Logan. It was really good.
Did you use Wikipedia that?
No, I'm trying to find that cover I was talking about.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah, just hold it up to the microphone so all the listeners at home can...
Hey,
you want to slide over a little bit, one chair?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
I'm just going to keep asking you. Because when you sitting so far away looking at your phone feels like you're not actually here.
Oh, good.
Also, of course, there's Rise of the Silver Surfer, the film.
That's the art film. The indie film that everyone hears.
I think that was actually a commercial for Dodge the whole time. It was just like a Dodge commercial.
Great. Who asked that question? We have some comics for you.
Yeah.
Very nice dovetailed question. We have another question, Boothman.
What gift would you get the person to your right for the holidays?
To your right? Oh, shit.
I guess that would be Mr. Gabris. Yeah.
Or it's you.
Oh, well, oh.
Oh,
I was,
nice.
I was, oh.
Now I got to get a fucking gift from Boothman.
Watch out.
No, I'm scared. All right. What would I get Justin? Oh, shit.
Careful. I mean, I'm sure I'm on your shopping list.
All right. If I had, like, so funds or, like, my ability.
Oh,
like,
yeah, anything. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Anything.
Because for those of you who don't know who are listening, Justin's my writing partner. We write TV...
erotic fan fiction.
Yeah, we write erotic Thing fan fiction and feature-length versions of said fan fiction.
Yep.
I would get Justin an autographed copy of the script for Joe vs. the Volcano by Michael Patrick.
Oh, nice.
Which is one of my personal favorites, but it is Justin's favorite movie.
It's my favorite movie.
So, and not a lot of people know that it's written and directed by Michael Patrick Shanley, so I would get him to autograph
John
it.
Patrick Shanley.
Michael Patrick Shanley, his brother. Not as famous, that's why not a lot of people know it. I think I was getting mixed up with the guy who played Powder.
I was going to say, I think it's...
I'm going to get him a copy of... Joe vs. Volcano, autographed by the guy who played Powder.
And then a
postscript by Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, man, you know me so well. What do you get the man who has everything? A bunch of weird references tied together. For P. LePage, what to say? What to...
Keep in mind, you're not the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a heart, not brain.
Yeah.
Nobody said
make his
anything.
Heart grow 10 times more. A new pair of sneakers, for one.
Oh.
I would remake you, I think.
Really?
I would
That's a Christmas gift? That's your Christmas gift?
That's
to
so
say,
mean.
Like, I hate
That's
you so much,
mean.
I would fucking remake you?
That's so mean. You. Not like a, what's it called when they do it on fucking TV shows?
Where Celebrity
they,
makeover.
Makeover, yeah. Not make them over. I would remake you.
You. Yeah.
You're just genetically incorrect.
Right. We gotta go back to the DNA, guys.
Yeah.
Reboot. No, honestly.
No, I hope you die too.
No, I was just kidding. What I would get you is continuing the line of T-shirts you like of animals holding
weapons. Yeah,
I would get you the infinite number, whatever the ultimate iteration, ultimate combinations of different animals holding different weapons.
Well, that's a website. It does that. That's
oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Then I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
It's digitalpimp.com.
I think what Pete was casually saying was like, you can go on that website and get me a T-shirt, please.
Yeah, yeah, please. Yeah. Boothman, what I would get you is I would get you a place to live because
thanks,
all
so
you have is this place and it sucks
like, oh,
worse
shit,
than
right.
the last
oh,
place.
Right. He lives in the booth.
It's
right.
not a premise. Don't say that word.
And also, I get you a new robe that you used to host in. Yeah.
Well, I don't use it anymore. So.
I know, but, yeah. you know, it's,
God it was
robes are nice, yeah. right?
I'll still replace that old nasty
yeah.
robe.
You have to wear that on Sunday mornings.
Cool.
Do you have something for Gabrus?
Yeah, I'd get him a full-body thing suit so he can reenact what his fantasies are.
Oh, nice.
And Scarlett Johansson, like, blow up doll.
And a lawyer would yeah. be good.
A court-issued subpoena.
Well, I mean, save your money. I have two. Fully realized things.
Just save
one
up for that
erect,
lawyer.
One flaccid.
And I would get you, if I can go in the opposite direction here, a swimming pool full of 12-sided die. Dive into Scrooge McDuck.
And then die.
I would love that. I would fucking love that. I always wanted to swim in seltzer, but now that sounds like the upgrade.
Wait, why?
I don't know. What would it be like to swim in seltzer?
It'd be sort of tickly. It would tickle you.
It wouldn't leave you sticky like soda.
That's why
it would be
like
really
shirts.
Weird to swim in effervescence like
you
that.
You really thought about this.
I've gotten stoned and really thought about that. How fun it would be to swim through effervescent water.
Well, Pete, what would you get Justin?
I would give you is the power that you would never die, so I could just keep killing you over and over again.
That's more of a gift for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Re-gift.
Yeah, it's like when you. Yeah, it's a re-gift.
Great. Who asked that question? Great stuff. And that's it for our audience questions.
Yeah.
I like that the last question was like a morality play.
Yeah, no, it was good. I love to ask the person to your right. It's like pay it forward. Anybody? That's the script I want signed.
I'm so excited that kid got stabbed.
Why?
No, he was.
No,
a kid
he
in
means
the
character. I hope.
No, in real life, what? He was just
Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment. I just stabbed him on the corner of Hollywood and Vine randomly the other day.
Nice. No, he's hit hard times. Let's move on to our next.
I'm from L.A.
Let's move. Yeah, cool. Great ref. Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, they intersect. I think.
That's from the song Love Potion number 9. Yeah.
Sorry. Your reference wins. You know it from Love Potion number 9.
Great movie and song. Let's move on to our next section, which we call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
First thing up, we all watched it. Hopefully you guys did too. The new Man of Steel trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The Superman movie by Zack Snyder.
And so earlier, Pete, when we all watched it, Pete said, okay, I've now watched it twice. I think I'm going to ask you guys questions because I still don't understand.
So, let me get this straight.
Let's do it.
So, Kevin Costner shows up and then gives...
It's the character from Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, just ruin all my bits before we get to
it. Oh, I don't know.
How are we supposed to...
I don't know your bits.
Well, yeah, well, it's tough when you cut me off, you fucking asshole.
I don't know
asshole.
What your bits are.
What Pete's doing is called rolling with it.
Yeah, real good.
Okay.
12-sided die.
Nice.
So, yeah, so moving on. Moving on. So Kevin Costner's his dad who gives some shitty advice.
Field of Dreams.
And then his mom was never really with him. Like, she was... She traps Superman as a little boy in a closet and then spoke to him through a wall.
Yeah, it's the arc.
Then at some point, he's stranded in an island, floating upside down, dreaming about a talk he had in the closet. Then he gets so mad at the earth, he punches it really hard, that so hard it flies him straight up. How the fuck is this Superman? There was nothing in the trailer that was like, other than the S that we saw at the end.
Oh,
like,
shit. We have to explain to him that trailers aren't linear stories.
Oh, that's... No, but it literally was like super fucking confusing. It was really... It's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. And then they just kept showing glimpses of other characters. You're like, how is that going to be part of the story?
It was really... I watched it once and I was like, what? And then the second time I was like, nah, it didn't help.
Well, my big thing when they first released the teaser was, this looks like the Aquaman movie from season 2 of Entourage.
That's always your first thing. You always bring up season 2 of Entourage.
Well, that was an exciting time for all the characters in Vinny Chase's life. And then this trailer starts with Superman floating in water. I was like, this is starting to get really real. Like Vinny
Chase's
Aquaman. The
poster that they teased of him in cuffs was so awesome. It got me so interested. And then this trailer kind of turned me off. But I will see it. I mean, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Really?
Everyone should... Don't you know that I like everything?
Yeah. Oh. This guy, name a movie, he liked it.
Yeah. Not
honestly,
only did I see it...
And he sees everything.
I see it. I love it.
Really? I invite you to name any movie.
Wow.
Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Of course I like that movie, man.
Oh, I'm supposed to name crappy movies. Okay. Patch Adams.
What? Patch Adams? I cried the first time I saw it.
Yeah!
That's I know. Why did you? No one has ever cheered for that.
I cried.
Right here.
Yeah.
I do love that one part. Patch Adams is like, but that's my job. He's like, but you suck at it. I love saying that.
It's amazing. That's the most cogent Ben. That's the most like clear review you've given in several years.
I love that. He's like, Patch Adams. I make fun. I'm like, I love it. Everyone makes fun of me. He goes, I actually did really well. He's like, I'll go down with the ship, too. I kind of liked it.
But I actually thought, I liked the trailer. I thought it did get me excited.
Really?
For the movie. Yeah.
You got excited about a movie that doesn't look like Superman?
But it's going to be Superman.
It looks like the anti-Superman.
So you think this whole movie...
Anti-Superman?
Yeah.
Bizarro.
Bizarro. This is a Bizarro movie in the sky.
So do you think the whole movie is just going to be him flying once and then like a romantic comedy?
Yeah. It's going to be a fucking rom-com mixed with like...
And he's like, I'm out of here.
he's
going to fly away.
It's like Luigi, Super Mario Brothers, and a rom-com.
When you're talking about he takes off, but he like pushes down on the ground.
It's so focused on the fist like pushing like that. It's like, it almost seems like he's... punching.
Yeah, but it looks cool.
Yeah, that's why I thought the same thing. I was like, this looks pretty sweet.
Which part?
The part where he's got a beard? Because that's sweet.
Beards are awesome. I fucking love it.
Yeah, here we go.
How can you shave if you're Superman? Aren't you like indestructible?
He uses his heat vision.
Yeah, nice.
Like bounces it off a mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a piece from a book I never read?
That was in one of the original Superman movies, wasn't it?
He shaves with his laser
something.
Ass? That seems cartoonishly ridiculous.
Well, doesn't in Christopher Reeve have some facial hair when he's like evil Superman in the original movies?
Sure. Oh, what?
He has like 5 o'clock shadow.
Are you talking about the one where he gets drunk?
Yeah.
I think so,
yeah. Yeah, he has like 5 o'clock shadow.
All right, well, I'm glad we nailed that down.
I mean, we can't know everything. So I think it's good.
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on to next story. Asim Assad has been a rumor has been flying around that Asim Assad has been cast as Morbius in the new Spider-Man movie. So are we setting up a Morbius villain, a Spider-Man versus vampire for the new Spider-Man movie?
Ooh, who's Asim Assad?
He's the dude. He was in Inception. Dark Knight Rises. He's
the driver.
Nolan dude. Yeah,
he's like the guy who puts him under in Inception. I'm going based solely on racism at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your sort of screening.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about this on this podcast before, that comic book movies are not just the genre anymore. Like, you can see a comic movie that's like Thor, and it's more of like an epic. And you can see a comic book movie that's like Avengers, and that's a popcorn comic book movie. But then you could do all these other movies that are a little like Dark Knight is not a comic book movie anymore. You know, Dark Knight Rises is its own kind of, it's like a dark noir. Yeah.
Like
New
a V
York
for Vendetta.
Yeah, exactly. V for Vendetta is like its own kind of genre anymore. So I'm excited. Like, if it's like sort of a vampire movie, which we don't need more of, but
yeah, we don't.
It would be awesome. I like the Garfield Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, I liked it, too. I actually just watched it. You guys made fun of me for so long for not seeing it. I finally watched it. It was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
What the fuck are you talking about?
First of all, Emma.
Wait.
Emma,
how many times have we got to see
Emma Stone as, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, as a blonde, I didn't give a shit what character she's in. But she's so mint in every movie, and then now she's
Emma Stone is a blonde.
She's blonde, and she's got, like, thigh-high stockings on, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I love it.
Aren't you married?
What? Yeah, you can still fucking read the menu, dude.
Yo.
You can still order the
says
the man in the pink
quickly.
Sweatshirt.
You can still order the food, take a bite, spit it into your napkin, and say, I didn't order this.
No, that sounds like analogy starts to break down. No, you can't bite the food.
You said that like you wanted to grab his throat and be like, you could still read the fucking menu, man.
Well, I didn't want anyone in the crowd to know I'm married. Again, plug in my fucking hotel room.
Save it for the plug section where you plug your own hotel room for tonight.
Oh, my God.
Pete, Vampire, Morbius, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. Just don't give me the goddamn Spider-Man origin story again. Like, we've seen it so many times.
We get it. He's a Spider-Man now.
I've never said this phrase. I got to agree with Pete, though. I am tired of, like, origin stories. It's like, just assume the audience has heard of
everybody,
something.
Yeah.
Or put it for 6 minutes in the movie.
Yeah. Like, I can't remember which.
Like, Watchmen, I thought, did it really well.
Yeah, hold on. I'm getting a call from Hollywood. I think we're going to be writing a new comic book movie.
Nope.
Three of us.
That's just my phone.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a resident of Hollywood. Oh, never mind. Phone died a year ago. Apparently, you got to pay someone.
My phone died 1 year ago tonight. Let's see. Oh, Hobbit. Who's going to see The Hobbit? Last thing.
Nah.
Okay.
Of course, I'm going to see The Hobbit. Fucking wait. I hope they split it up into 12 movies.
They split up the footage they have and then to show more outtakes.
Yeah. I just want to. Yeah, I want to go. I want to go in 10 years. I want to go see the fourth Hobbit and have it just be an extra long 2-hour credit sequence.
Nice. I want to know everyone that walked on that set. Yeah. Over the course of the time.
I'm really excited for the Hobbit movie. Justin and I actually saw an interview with Andy Serkis on the Colbert Report where he was talking about how the first scene they shot of the movie is the interaction between. Bilbo and Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis, Bilbo and Gollum, and they shot it for 12 days, 8 hours a day. So that and they just kept shooting the scene in full.
Yeah, it's like a theater. It's like a 60-minute scene. They just kept running.
They kept running it as like a
play.
Why would you do that? Because it helped both characters get into their characters. Because
it was their first scene. They had to like.
Built his Bilbo character around that scene, and that's pretty awesome. Like that's intense. Like. That goes out of the realm of fantasy and comic movies. That's like something you hear about, like an amazing art piece. That's awesome. I'm excited about that.
That's really cool. I'm seeing it Thursday at midnight.
Oh, wow. You already got tickets.
Dorks. Yeah.
That's cool.
Are you excited?
I love the Lord of the Rings. Hobbit's a great book. I'm a little nervous about what they're going to do with the movie. I was a little upset with the last one. I felt like it ended like three separate times. I was like getting pissed.
Did you watch the DVD of it? It ends like four more times on the DVD.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I got big hopes for it. I hope it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like it's in the right hands. I'm going to definitely see it twice the week it comes out. The first
really?
One, yeah, I intend full well to see it once. Just go and see it. And the second time, to eat some of my prescription and then go see it. Yeah. I live in California, and I have anxiety.
Cool.
You don't
I should
look
have
like
you
have
on
have
audio
anxiety.
Trails.
Should bring me on audio trails. I always have audio trails.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's it for the Week in Geek. Let's turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage for some trivia.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because we'd spend it on comics anyway. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Yes, you in the back, sir. Come on up. You, sir. Yeah. Brave volunteer. What is your name? Come on up.
I'm Jake.
Jake? Audience? Hey. Audience Jake.
Jake.
No, just stand right up here. Yeah, yeah.
Relax.
Cool.
This is our job.
All right, so how this is going to work, Jake, is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get them all right, and you win $25 free.
Fuck yeah.
I'm going to entice you here with the gift card. All right, here we go.
And the receipt.
The receipt, because we got to be legit about it. Yeah. Cool. It also says how much is on, in case you forget. You
know. All right.
Nice.
Don't be a dick, Abrams. All right, here we go. So today's trivia is on This Week in Comics. So it's all stuff that came out this week. Question number one. In the all-new X-Men, issue number 3, who does Cyclops and Magneto help escape? Is it A, Colossus, B, Emma Frost, or C, Gary Busey? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with Emma Frost.
Yes, nice. You are correct. cool.
Jake, you got a real eye for trivia.
I forgot about this part of the show.
In Avengers, Volume 5, Issue 1, who does the Hulk punch? Is it A, Thor, B, Iron Man, or C, Johnny Utah?
Gotta go with Thor.
Thor is
nice.
Correct. They didn't even have to help him.
Unassisted.
Okay, here we go. In Invincible number 98, who does Invincible discover to be setting off bombs causing giant tidal waves? Is it A giant, sometimes evil dinosaur named Dinosaurus, B, a giant evil robot vampire called RoboSuck, or C, a giant evil surfer named Bodie? So it's either A or don't pick B.
Thinking Dinosaurus?
Yes! Yeah. $25 free, Jay! Congratulations.
Take that down to mid.
Wait, can I just
comics.
Ask one quick question? Did you watch Point Break Sunday night on HBO 2 by any chance? Because I did. It was on at like 1:30 in the morning.
No, I don't have HBO.
Oh, sorry.
Wow.
I just thought it was a little insane.
That was a real softball question.
I would
Pete again rolling with it.
I love me some Point Break.
Clearly, it's infused your life. As we all know, tomorrow's new comic book day. Please head down to Midtown Comics. They've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to? Huh?
They're good people down there.
They're good people.
I am looking forward to Batman. It's been amazing, and I'm nervous about what's going to happen. I don't think Batman's going to make it out of this one, dude.
You don't really? You think this is the one that's going to take
yep.
him down?
Yep.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
This is the one where he ends up in a cafe with Catwoman in Prague or whatever?
Yeah, which is what the movie was based on.
That's what I was getting at. Thank you.
Nailed it.
I'm looking forward to the Adventure Time spinoff, the Marceline Scream Queens.
Yeah. I love that.
I love all the art in the Adventure Time books. I mean, it's one of my favorite shows on TV, and it's really fun that a show gets a good comic. It's like really rare that a show gets a good comic besides like Buffy and stuff like that. So it's really fun to read that.
I'm looking forward to Winter Soldier number 13. This book's been really good. It's sort of a very noir-y, very spy, sort of James Bondy, but with the Winter Soldier and Black Widow. Great stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
So that's the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hard cough
and high.
Hard cough ending?
Sorry, all right, we're good.
All right, that's the show.
I got it up. We're done.
Plug yourself, Mr.
I'm at John Gabrus. There's no H in John on Twitter. And check out Guy Code Tuesdays.
I love a show.
Hell of a show. Pete was telling me right before the show that he did not like it. So that means probably functioning members of society will love it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little behind the curtain. A couple of you want to thank. I want to thank Gabrus for being on the show. Yeah.
Boothman.
Midtown Comics for sponsoring the show. Check us out at Comic Book Live on Twitter and at Comic Book Club Live online.
Friend us on Facebook. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
And, of course, you guys, our lovely audience, please tune in. That's our show. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.